I know the one who sees my sorrow, who calms my heart and clothes my shame. I know the one who holds tomorrow, who hears my prayer and heals my pain. He is my fortress. He's my Father, my freedom, my Master, my Forgiver and Friend. For when He died on Calvary, He won my victory, and now in Him I'll live eternally. So I will love Him and trust Him and serve Him, the one who first loved me. I know the one who conquers darkness, the source of light and truth and grace. I know the fount of all forgiveness, who pours out life through saving faith. He is my fortress. He's my Father, my freedom, my Master, my Forgiver and Friend. For when He died on Calvary, He won my victory, and now in Him I'll live eternally. So I will love Him and trust Him and serve Him, the one who first loved me. So I will love Him and trust Him and serve Him, the one who first loved me.
Thank you, Tony. We love Him because He first loved us. Amen. Acts chapter 11, wonderful song. Thank you for being here again. Acts chapter 11, find that place in your Bible in just a moment. If you're able to stand, I'll ask you to do that. If not, that's fine. But if you're able to, in honor of God's Word, we'll do that together. Acts chapter 11, and we will begin reading in a moment in verse number 22. Find that chapter, Acts 11, and again, if you're able, let's stand together in honor of God's good Word. Let's read responsively today. I'll begin in verse 22. You join me on the odd verses, 23 and 25, and I'll finish in verse 26. I'm reading beginning Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. We'll draw your attention to verse number 23. The Bible says, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God. Speak to you on the subject of visible grace. Let's pray together. Father, speak to our hearts. Thank you for the passage. Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your book this morning. And I pray, God, that you will draw every heart in this room. You know the condition of every heart. You know the need. And I pray that you will draw every heart in this room to a solution for the need that we all have. Speak through me this morning, I pray. Anoint with power. May the Holy Ghost reside on me as I speak, on all of us as we listen. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you and be seated. No, I'm not having a senior moment. If those verses And the title of the message seem familiar to you? Yes, we were in this passage. We were in this very message 2 weeks ago. Memorial Day weekend, the weekend, three weeks ago now, that would be right. I am having a senior moment, all right? 3 weekends ago, we had the anniversary Sunday, and then last week we went to Dana Dice's church in Queens, New York. We've been supporting Dana 20 years in the ministry there, and also Tom Bish's church, Brother McDonald's territory out in Connecticut. I did not finish my message Memorial Day weekend. We had a lot going on, a lot of talk and planning about the 50th anniversary celebration. We recognized the high school graduates, and there was just a ton of things going on that morning. And I did not finish the message, and it just really aggravated me for the last 3 weeks. And so I thought, you know what? Evidently, the Lord wants me to finish it. So I'm going to finish it this morning, which means for many of you, you're going to have to bear with me through about, some minutes of review until we get to the part that I did not cover 3 weeks ago. So here we go with the review. If you were here then, you could take a nap. Some of you do that anyway. And if you, I'll wake you up when I get to the new part, all right? And maybe I won't. And if you were not here 3 weeks ago, give me your ear. We're going to go through this passage, all right? Barnabas, let's get the setting. Barnabas was sent from Jerusalem to the city of Antioch to learn firsthand what was going on there in the way of the work of the Lord. Some of the followers of Christ had landed in Antioch after fleeing the persecution that was going on in Jerusalem. Now, the Bible tells us a great number of people were saved in Antioch. Look at verse number 21. We didn't read this verse. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. By the way, for you know repentance people, there it is right there, and turned unto the Lord. You can't separate repentance and faith. They are same two sides of the same coin. Anyway, a bunch of people were saved. They were saved as a result of the preaching and teaching and witnessing of those who were followers of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 20. And some of them, which were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. What does that mean, preaching the Lord Jesus? They came preaching that Jesus is the Son of God. They came preaching that the Son of God went to the cross and died, that the Son of God was buried, and that the Son of God came out of the grave alive. That's what it means by when they say they came preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And they made it very clear that the only way to go to heaven, the only way to be saved, is by putting your faith and trust in what Jesus did through His death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. If you are not saved, by that I mean you have no idea where it stopped, and listen to me for a minute. Answer this question. Do you know where you're going when you die? You're not coming back to this earth. You're not reincarnating. You're not coming back as an animal. You're not coming back as a higher being like an angel. You're going to one of two places. Either going to heaven or hell. That's the authority of God's Word. Do you know where you're going when you die? If you don't, you can know, because exactly what they're preaching, I'm preaching to you now. Christ came. Christ died. Christ was buried. He rose again for your salvation. He paid your sin debt. Believe Him. Trust Him. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died, was buried, and rose again, and you believe what the Bible teaches about you being a sinner, I've got good news for you. Christ's death paid your sin debt. His resurrection sealed the payment for our sin debt. And by trusting in Him, putting your faith in Him, you can be saved. Being saved is more than just mentally believing that there is a God, that there is a Jesus. I could stand here all day and talk about my mental belief that this chair can hold up my weight, but I really don't put any faith in that chair until I sit in it. That's salvation. The devils believe and tremble. The devils aren't going to heaven. All right? You may believe in Jesus. You may believe all of that, but it's not until you sit down in the finished work of Christ that you're saved. So I exhort you today, be saved. Come to Christ, trust Him. That's what's going on here in Antioch. Okay, so lots of people are being saved. And verse number 22, look at what it says here in 22. Then tidings of these things. So news of what was going on in Antioch came to Jerusalem. And the people in Jerusalem, they were amazed at what was happening amongst the Gentile people. And so they sent Barnabas. Barnabas had proven himself as a mature follower of Christ. Look at verse number 24 about Barnabas. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. He had this gift of encouragement. Those of you that know the Bible a little bit, you remember it was Barnabas who would later go to Tarsus to get Saul, the newly saved Saul, and become Saul's mentor. Now, my message 2 weeks, 3 weeks, three Sundays ago, was divided into two parts. Two truths about what Barnabas experienced in Antioch, all right? About his experience there. This is repeat. I know, but stick with me. Number one, what Barnabas saw. What he saw. Look at verse number 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God. Now, people, Barnabas saw the grace of God. Evidently, the grace of God was visible to Barnabas. Now, how does a person see grace? How does a person see grace? Isn't grace a work of God? Yes, it is. Grace is unmerited favor. God's riches at Christ's expense. The divine influence upon the heart. But obviously, grace's influence is on more than just the heart, because man cannot look upon the heart of another person. Brother Bragg has been with me here now for over 11 years as a staff member, as administrator of the school. I've come to know Brother Bragg. He knows me, but I can't look on his heart. He can't look on my heart. Only God can look on the heart of a person. Only God sees. But the text is clear. The text is clear in verse 23. The text says that Barnabas saw the grace of God. I think it's obvious, folks, that what he's talking about here is Barnabas saw the visible results of the grace of God. The visible results. And obviously that was what the Bible is talking about. Here's the explanation. Grace, if it is unhindered, changes a person in ways that are visible to others. When you and I get saved, there ought to be a change in our spirit. There ought to be a change in outward behavior. Brother Jeff texted me yesterday about a person who's just recently been saved, and that person is in the auditorium this morning and here in the service. And that person just recently been saved, and the person was talking to Jeff yesterday about what the change that they've experienced, and this is different, and this is different, and this is different, and I can't wait to go to church. That's visible. That's visible grace. That's what grace does in the life of a person. When grace is unhindered, it changes a person's spirit, changes a person's outward behavior. Habits that were the result of sinfulness are replaced by habits that are the result of righteousness. Barnabas could see the visible results of God's grace, because grace has power to change us. Changes from being lost to being saved. And then after that, it has power to change us from living like a lost person to living like a saved person. When I was a lost teenager, I lived like a lost teenager. You want to know why? Because I was a lost teenager. I didn't have any interest in church, Bible, righteousness. None. Okay? But when I got saved, all of a sudden I started living like a saved teenager because I was a saved teenager. It's the power of God's grace. I'm not going to revisit all I said 3 weeks ago, but this is very, I think, very important in this day when the popular Christian, talk today is, that, well, we're under grace and grace gives us a license and liberty as a Christian to do whatever we want to do. I don't find that in the Bible. That's an abuse of grace. Grace doesn't give us liberty and license to live like we want to. Grace empowers us to live like God wants us to. Okay? And I'll go toe-to-toe with anybody, Baptist, any other person on that matter. Here, a man went to a place from Jerusalem to Antioch, and he saw the visible results of God's grace. And the Bible says in verse 23 that when he saw this, he was glad. You know, that's what happens. People who love God are always excited and thrilled when people who are lost get saved and start to grow in grace. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy to see every person, those of you that were here before I came as pastor 29 years ago, I'm thrilled to see you here this morning, but there's a different kind of thrill to look out and see people who just have recently been saved sitting in the service. To see people who were saved some years ago and wandered away, come back. There's a certain thrill in my heart with that. Certain thrill. And it ought to be that way to every child of God. Okay, so Barnabas, this is what he saw. Now, the second part of the message was what Barnabas said. What Barnabas said. He said in verse number 23, the Bible says he saw the grace of God. He was glad. Now, watch it. Now, it tells us what he said. He exhorted them all. What does that mean? Well, that's a little bit of what I'm doing right now. Exhortation is preaching, both public and personal. I would imagine that Barnabas, one-on-one with people, exhorted them. And I think in public meetings, Barnabas preached to them. Look at what he says. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. So this is what Barnabas had to say when he got to Antioch. He saw all that was going on, all this salvation taking place, the visible results of people's lives being changed. He said, here is God's message for you folks. Man, cleave to the Lord and do it with purpose of heart. Now, let's break that down a little bit. Look at the word purpose there. You see it, okay? Here's what it means. It means intention. Intention. It means design. Intention, design. Paul Barnabas said, there needs to be some intention on your part. There needs to be some design. Now listen, to reach a desired end. There has to be some purpose. There has to be some intention. There has to be some design on your part to reach a desired end. Then he said, purpose of, the word is heart. That word in the Bible is not talking in this case about the muscle that pumps the blood through our circulatory system. It's talking about the core person. It actually means the middle, the core person. It means our thoughts, our feelings, our choices. So he says, with purpose of heart, with intentions that come from the very core of your person, these intentions that come from your core person, your core thoughts, your core feelings, your core choices. You know what he's saying? Your sincere. Sincere intentions that are designed to reach a desired end. So here it is, with purpose of heart, man. Put your heart into it. Do it on purpose. Do it intentionally. Do it by design. Do it with all of your core person. Do what? Cleave to the Lord. Stick to God. Stick to God. Well, you've just been saved. You're being introduced to things from God's Word, about God's will, and about God's way. Now, people, stick to it. And stick to it on purpose. Intentionally. By design. Boy, I'm headed somewhere. I'm touching this morning on why some people never get anywhere in the Christian life. On purpose. by design, intentionally. You need to cleave to God. You know, people who have sincere purpose in any realm always do better than people who have no purpose. It was good to see Brett and Amy Hendrickson yesterday. They were here for the wedding. Brett was a stand-up. And I was talking to Brett at the rehearsal on Friday night. I said, Brett, how's the job at Cigna? And he started talking about it, and I was reminded when Brett was here, Brett and Amy lived here, coming to church here, and Brett was working for his dad at the print shop. Ryan, you were there at the print shop, and the print shop went out of business, and Brett was trying to figure out what to do, and he thought about going back to school and tried that for a little while. And he was just kind of, you know, trying to find what's the next step. A young married man, got some kids. I don't know if it was one or two at that time, at least one, Hayden. And a lady that was attending church here in those days worked at Cigna, a couple different ladies. He had phone calls from two different ladies who said, Pastor, if there's anybody at church looking for a job, they are really looking for people to work at Cigna. Well, I immediately thought about Brett, and I called him. I said, hey, man, for what it's worth, a couple of people have called. They're hiring at Cigna. He went and applied, and he got hired. It was less money than he wanted. It was less money than he needed. The first year and a half was, I can remember sitting in that room back there talking with him about that. Talking about it. He said, but I'm just going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with it. He said, because there's ways to be promoted in the company. I'm going to stick with it. Boy, I mean, for a year and a half, it was just grind. But he had a purpose. He had a purpose. And before long, here came a promotion. And then here came another promotion. And here came another promotion. When I asked him Friday night at rehearsal, how's the job going? He said, Pastor, I've been promoted again. In fact, several times. He said, I'm working from home now. I have a lot of responsibility. I said, Brett, is this a stay until you're done career job? He said, oh, yes. You know why it's become that in his case? It's called purpose. Purpose. Intentionally. By design. People, can I tell you that for the first year and a half, it was all perspiration. There was no inspiration. There was nothing exciting about him going to work. Don't take this wrong, but I'm just going to say it, okay? Here was a man going to work and surrounded by a bunch of females. And that's just different for us, okay? And, you know, different to get used to. And so there he is, and he was just like a fish out of water. But he kept saying in the office, I said, well, Brett, do you want to look for something else? And, no, I'm just going to stick with it. I'm just going to stick with it. Here was a young man who purposed for all those months of perspiration, just going and doing it, putting his heart into it, doing the very best he could, soaking up all he could. Are you listening? I'm going somewhere with this. Soaking up all he could learn. Grabbing everything he could learn about the insurance business. Got to learn this, got to learn that, learn this, learn that. Getting it all, perspiration. And maybe there was no inspiration in those days, but over time, and now God has blessed him, and he's stuck with it, and God, he's settled, and he's stable, and he had purpose of heart. Purpose of heart goes a long way in any realm of life, including following Christ. Including following Christ. So I say to you, church, what Barnabas said to these people, stick to God. Stick with God. You've been saved. You've been born again. Now what? Well, get some purpose about your Christian life. Get baptized. Okay, I'm baptized. Now what? Join a church. But wait a minute. Don't just join a church. Attend it. And don't just attend it. Attend it with purpose. Attend it to learn. Attend it to listen. Attend it to sit in Sunday school and hear the teacher and hear the truth of God's Word. Design, intention, put your heart into it. Put your heart into reading your Bible. Don't just read your Bible. Read it with purpose. Father, speak to me today. Teach me something today. Pray with purpose. It's not our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin to transgress whatever it is and forgive us this and that. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Thine be the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Well, I pray. That's not praying with purpose. That's not praying with purpose. Pray with purpose. And folks, when you intentionally, by design, put your heart into sticking with God, witnessing, do you know what's going to happen? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Grace is going to become visible in your life. Honest truth of the matter is, there are some of you who have been saved for some time, but grace is not visible in your life. I'm not being mean. I'm being honest. Because you've had no purpose. You've had no intention of growing. You've had no design. Some of you have lost your purpose. You had purpose. And there was growth. And people could see it. But you've lost it. And people can see that. People can see that. I'm talking about visible grace. I'm talking about a work of God in our hearts that takes place as you and I, with intentional design, cleave to God, learn what we can, put what we learn into practice. And if you've been saved just recently, if you've come back to God recently, you should decide now, I'm purposefully going to sincerely cleave, to stick to God, to stick what God wants, to stick to God's will, to stick to God's way, to stick to God's word. I'm going to do it on purpose. On purpose. That's what Barnabas said. That was the message. More or less 2 weeks ago. Now, for those of you that are asleep, you can wake up. This is the new part. All right. No, kidding. I'm just kidding around. How did it go? What happened? What happened at Antioch as a result of what Barnabas said? Well, look at verse number 25. So he's preaching this, he's teaching this, he's exhorting the people. Then he goes to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Yeah, he's going to go find Saul. Saul's newly saved. Tarsus, 85, 90 miles around the upper northeast corner of the Mediterranean Sea from Antioch. So he travels that distance. He gets to Tarsus. He starts asking, hey, where's Saul? Where's Saul? He finds Saul, and they begin to talk, and Saul, well, you recently got saved? Man, did I get saved? Yes, God saved me. And Barnabas said, well, I want you to come with me. So he brings Saul. They make the 85, 90-mile journey from up in Tarsus down to Antioch. They come back to Antioch, Barnabas and Saul together. Look at verse number 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. They assembled themselves with the assembly. That's a good thing for church folks to do. Assemble with the assembly. All right, so here's what they do. Now look, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So 1 year. 1 year. For 1 year, these new believers assembled themselves with the others who had been saved, and the disciples that came from Jerusalem, and Saul and Barnabas and Saul. They did that for 1 year. And after 1 year of being saved, these new born-again people had grown from being newly saved to being disciples, so much so that the people in the town said, hey, see that person over there? See that man over there? You know what he is? He's a Christian. You know what that means? Follower of Christ. See that lady over there? You know what she is? She's a... People, they didn't sit around in the church service one day and say, hey, we got to name ourselves. What are we going to call ourselves? Well, what are we going to call ourselves? I don't know. What do we call ourselves? Believers? Well, that's a good word. So that's used in the Bible. What are we going to call? They didn't come up with the name Christian. The people in the town came up with the name because their lives were evident that they were following Jesus Christ. There was visible grace to the people. People could see the grace of God in their life. They would say, see that family over there? Hey, you know that family that lives down there on River Street? They're Christians. That family that lives over there on First Avenue? They're Christians. See that couple right there? You know that teenager? You see that young man? See that young lady? He, she is a... After 1 year. 1 year. That's all it took. Are you listening, church? 1 year. 1 year. You want to know how that happened? God, through grace, worked in the lives of those people, but those people had to purpose in their hearts to stick with God. Do it intentionally. Do it by design. Do it on purpose with all of their heart. Now, how about you? They made progress in 1 year. Where are you at, folks? Look, do you know why? Do you know the reason why some people never grow in grace to the place where grace is visible in their life? Let me tell you what the answer is not first. The answer is not that a child of God says, you know what? I'm saved and I don't care. I don't care if I ever honor God with my life. I don't care if I ever live for God. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I could give a flip about the rest. You think anybody says that? They don't purpose not to follow God, but they never purpose to follow God. And therein lies the problem. You've got a purpose to do it. By design. By intention. Well, what does this involve, man? If you've been saved, get baptized. If you've been baptized, join a Bible preaching church. Don't just join it, attend it. Don't just attend it, attend it with purpose. Attend it with purpose. Man, pull into the parking lot on the way to church. You say, God, speak to my heart today. And get that songbook. And when we sing, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Sing it with your heart. Do it by design. Do it on purpose. Do it intentionally. And when the Sunday school lesson is being taught, when the message is being preached, turn, can I give you something good to do? Folks, you don't have to have a phone in church. Well, what if? What if? What are you talking about, what if? What did people do for the first 4,000 years of life? They survived without a phone in a church service. I know what some of you got going on right now. You got your phone silent, but it's vibrating. And every time it vibrates, you lose concentration. You lose attention. Some of you even sneak a look down at it. I may be getting old, but I'm not blind. Why do you need that? Get here on purpose. Have some intention. Okay? If there's an emergency that requires your immediate attention, somebody will probably show up and tell one of the ushers or the lobby monitor, I've got to speak to Matt Prather. Get him right now. There's been a problem. Okay? That's what they kind of used to do. Intention. I'm setting this time apart for God. I'm setting this time aside for Him. I want to come. I want to learn everything I can. I want to get it. I want to get notes. I want to learn about the Bible. I want to learn about God. I want to learn about Jesus Christ. I want to learn about the Holy Spirit. There's no purpose to grow. There's no sincere intention. There's no design. Some of you had design at one time in your life. You've thrown that design to the curb. You've thrown it to the curb. And that's why your Christianity is going flat. It's going flat. Folks, look. There's an old saying. You can support it with Scripture. It's not found quoted in Scripture. God's not going to do for you and me what we can do for ourselves. No, I'm not going to do it. If I'm out of a job, Brian Maxwell looking for a job right now, you know what Brian's doing? Brian's not sitting on the couch at home praying, oh God, give me a job. You know what Brian's doing? Brian's applying. He's on the internet. He's putting his application in. That's who God gives jobs to. People who are looking, searching. The Christian life, salvation is all of grace. All of grace. But growing in grace demands some intention. It demands some attention. It demands some design. 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 Here's, you know, a guy gets something in his mind, and this is what I'm going to make, and he creates, you know, Dennis Kalson created a tool. Dennis is out in Iowa helping his folks. Dennis Kalson created a tool some years ago that he tried to get a patent for. He finally got the patent for it. And it was a tool that would help builders put the windows in, if I remember right, in Cindy. He had to design. He had to think about, how am I going to design this so that it will work? That's how you approach the Christian life. There is a design put forth in the Scripture. Get plugged into that design. Do it on purpose. Do it intentionally. And do it with all of your heart. I'm going to promise you what'll happen. God's going to say, wow, boom. Your life will begin to change. Your life will begin to change. The problem is not that people purpose not to grow. The problem is that people don't purpose to grow. So here's this newly saved believer in Antioch. Man, she's all excited. Here's this great exhorter, Barnabas from Jerusalem. He says, man, I'm so thrilled you're saved. I'm so thrilled you're coming together with this assembly. Now here's what you need to do. Look, you get some intention, get some design, and on purpose, with all of your heart, stick with God. With all of your heart. They hear that, and they do it. And 1 year later, he's a Christian. You know what she is now? She's a Christian. You know what that young man is? He's a Christian. By the way, that was not a derisive term. I think it was an honorable term. He's a follower of Christ. Are you new to salvation? Get some purpose. Have you returned to God? Return to purpose. Have you lost your purpose? Find it. For heaven's sake, find it. Man, you've got life to live. You're in your 30s, 40s, 50s. You've got life to live. Find it. Find that purpose. And see the grace of God go to work in your heart again. Close the message with this illustration. That's old for some of you, but for sake of illustration, I'll give it again. You've spent your day at work running around town doing what you normally would do. You pull into the driveway of your house, your garage, your carport. Stick with me now. You turn your car off. Everything's fine. You go in. You spend your evening. You have your supper. You play with the kids. You work in the yard. You end up going to bed, of course, and sleeping. Get up, take a shower. Maybe have your devotions. Eat your breakfast. Go to the car to go to work. Stick your key in the ignition and turn it. All you get is a womp, womp, womp. Or a tick, 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 tick. Right? You've been there, right? Yeah, we've all been there. In the old days, you know what it is. Didn't used to have the little release under the dashboard like you do now. Now you got the little release, and you go around and lift the hood, and there in the battery, you see all this purple, greenish, whitish junk growing on the terminals of those batteries. You know what I'm talking about, right? In the old days, you used to go inside, get a Coca-Cola and a toothbrush. You didn't have money to buy the post-terminal cleaner. But you had a toothbrush. You had a bottle of Coke. You poured that on there, scrubbed it up. Maybe you got some water and baking soda. You took those clamps off. You turned that. Clean that thing. Shine that post up. Shine those clamps up. Now they make those tools that turn. Clean the post and the clamps. Same tool. Put that back on that battery. Tighten it up there. Lower the hood. Get back in the car. Turn the key. Woof. Nothing wrong with that battery. That battery always had enough power to start that car. It was just hindered by the gunk on the terminal. There is enough power in God's grace to turn every person who's saved in this room into a follower of Christ. Every one of us. You are not left out. you've got to get a design. You've got to get a purpose. You've got to get the junk of purposelessness out of your life. Abandon that. If you've lost it, confess that to God. Look, God can forgive you of that as quick as He can forgive somebody of getting drunk. Find your purpose. Cleave to God. Watch the grace of God go to work in your life. Watch it turn you into a follower of Christ. Don't you want to finish that way? Don't you want to finish that way? Visible grace. Man, this passage has been eating at me. Man, Lord. Because I remember 44 plus years ago when I... almost 44 years ago when I trusted Christ, I remember the burning in my heart to live for Him, and I found a purpose, a design. Man, find yours. Find that purpose. Stick to God. Cleave to Him. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Let me ask a couple questions today before I pray. Could I have your attention while no one is looking? And please, everybody, concentrating as we talk just for a moment together. Wonder who's here today. You're a child of God. You're saved. You know it. You're on your way to heaven. You say, Pastor, somewhere through the course of the message today, God spoke to my heart. I don't want to lose my purpose. Maybe you've got it. You don't want to lose it. Maybe you've lost it and you want to come back to it and you find it again. Maybe you're newly saved and you say, this is what I need. Maybe whatever. But God spoke to your heart this morning about this matter of God's grace working in your life so that someday it's visible to others. Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to my heart this morning. Would you slip your hand in the air wherever you're seated? Now, I appreciate that. Thank you. Take your hands down. I appreciate it. God bless you. There was a lot of people. I want to encourage you. I listened to the two messages from last Sunday, Brother Gellis, Brother Larry Johnson. I thought to myself, my goodness, what messages. Brother Larry talked about the altar. Christians, if you're able, use it. God spoke to your heart. Now you acknowledge, oh God, please help me. Now here's another question. Listen carefully. In the first part of the message, I talked about knowing for sure that you're going to heaven someday when you die. Now let's be honest. Let's be honest with God today. Is there somebody here in the service? You say, Pastor, I don't know where I'm going when I die. If that's you, would you slip your hand in the air? If you don't know where you're going when you die, would you just slip your hand in the air so I can see it for just a moment? Thank you. I appreciate that. Is there somebody else? I don't know where I'm going when I die. Just be honest with God today. Honest with your own heart. I'm not sure where I'm going when I die. If you're not sure where you're going when you die, you can know. You can know it. But you're going to have to step out and come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. And as soon as the music begins, in just a moment, people are going to be coming to pray. And that's another reason, church, those of you who are saved, while it's important to use the altar, it's testimony, it's example. If you're not saved, if you're not sure where you're going, where you die, when people come, step out. Just come, tell one of these men, I don't know where I'm going when I die. If you're here to be baptized this morning, I know some that are, or you're here, you know that you need to, now's the time to come, and you can begin getting ready for baptism. We'll have some people to help in the back in just a moment. But right now, I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, I rejoice in your word. Pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning as only you can. Would you please save somebody here today who needs to be saved? Would you please help some people to find the purpose that they once knew? Would you speak to our hearts as only you can? In Jesus' name. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. It's time to come. Would you obey the Lord today? Would you come? You're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Can I ask you to come this morning? Let somebody show you how to be saved. Would you do that? Would you come today? Come just like you are. Come just as you are. That's wonderful. Let's take a minute and pray together. God bless you, baby. Jody will meet you right there, and Jody will speak to you. Slip in a pew there, Jody. You know those pews that are empty right there. That's great. Can I ask you today, do you have purpose? Do you have purpose? Have you lost it? Have you lost it? Please, I beg you. You know, as much as I would beg somebody to get saved, I would beg somebody who's lost their purpose in life, the Christian life, to get it again, please. Spend a little time praying today while we wait.